Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know the Ten Commandments. Those words should be written in your hearts and in your minds. They are words that you have been taught since you were a little child. Words that I hope you have still heard time and time again. They are words that should be on the doorposts, not just of your homes, but also of your minds and hearts. I pray that you, dear fathers, would speak of them when you rise up and when you sit down in your homes. That you would point your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and yourself back to them often. In fact, they should be recited as a part of your daily devotions every single day. And I know that you can say, well, Pastor, they've changed the translation. I know, it bugs me too. But here we are. And so whether you're reciting them from the King James as you learned them as a little child, or whether you are reciting them from the New King James as we heard from our Old Testament lesson today, or from the NIV as is stuck in our catechisms, I don't care which translation you use, I just want you to be familiar with them. Those words should be a part of you. Because in reality, the only way that you can be saved of your own doing is to perfectly fulfill every single jot and tittle. Every comma, every period, every semicolon. You must perfectly do every single one of these things to save yourself. You must have no other gods. You must never take his name in vain or swear with it. You must always remember the Sabbath day. You must never miss church. You must perfectly honor your mother and your father, all those in authority. You shall not murder, and Jesus takes it a step further, not just in physical deed, but in your heart, in your soul. If you hate your brother, it is as if you have murdered him. You are to keep the marriage bed absolutely perfectly. You are never even to look at a person with lust. You shall never take that which isn't yours, nor even desire those things. And you shall never tell a lie. You shall always use words that will build up your neighbors. Now, I know what you're thinking. Pastor, I can't do all those things perfectly. I know, because I failed at them too. It's good that we don't have to save ourselves, isn't it? And though God demands these things of us, he also loves us so much that he sent his Son to perfectly fulfill every jot, every tittle. Not that we could do away with the law, but that it could be fulfilled. He has come not to abolish it, but to fulfill it completely on our behalf. You and I, we can't save ourselves. But thanks be to God, he does it for us. The law is good. The law is wise. God has laid it down for us. And even though today, as Jesus Christ has perfectly fulfilled it on our behalf, it is not something that we simply throw away as though it doesn't matter. When I said these words should be a part of you, God's will should be a part of you, you as his children should know his just commands and strive to follow them. All of those words are true. But ultimately, when we fail, and we do daily, you must find ourselves at the foot of the cross. God, he says right in our Old Testament lesson, is a jealous God. God very much is a husband that loves his bride, and his bride is the church. He loves it so completely, so utterly, that he covers her when she sins, that he covers her nakedness when she exposes herself to the world. that when she chases after the cares of this world, that when she chases after all sorts of false husbands, all sorts of harlotry, he still covers her in a robe of his righteousness. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He is a husband that loves you so completely, so utterly, that he wants you to follow his will because he knows that his will is best, and he knows that in his will, nothing can permanently harm you. Much like when a parent lays down the law for his children, and then his children go wild. He knows what is absolutely best for them. He does not want them to harm themselves. And when he sees them down that road, he laments. Our Father is the same way. And the iniquity of the fathers will be visited upon the third and fourth generation of those who hate God. And that's a reality of the world we live in, isn't it? It's not just, I want to do whatever makes me happy. It's, I hate God. I despise him with my entire being, and I don't want him to judge me. And because I don't want him to judge me, I'm going to pretend that he didn't exist in the first place. The problem with that mentality, of course, is that God is very real. And yes, God is loving, but God also punishes iniquity. Each and every one of us have turned our hearts from him a time or a dozen. Each of us have failed to live up perfectly to his command. But when we fail, as Christians, we cry out to a God who loves us. We cry out for his forgiveness. And he gives it to us. But those who turn their hearts away from God, those who live as if there is no God, he will punish for eternity. Thousands upon thousands are blessed who love him and strive to follow him. Now, it's true that this life may not feel very blessed at times. You have pain, you have heartache, people mock you and all sorts of things. And so you say to yourself, why on earth am I following him when my neighbor who despises him is so richly blessed? The end will come. And none of us know the day nor the hour. This life could be over in an instant. Those clouds could separate and Jesus Christ could be back in an instant. And then you shall see clearly, not in that mirror dimly, but you shall see God as he is. Your bodies will be transformed. And you will sing his praises for all eternity, never to suffer hardships ever again. That's the hope of being a Christian. Yes, these are God's commands for our lives as his children, as his loved ones. And we are to strive to follow them, but knowing that Jesus Christ suffered for each and every time that we failed at it. Knowing that in our baptism we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, which covers us in that robe of Christ's righteousness. We suffer heartache. We see death as a very real concept to us. That sting is very real and active in some of you even this very day. And yet, we take heart. Because St. Paul writes in our epistle lesson, we were baptized into Christ Jesus, and therefore we were baptized into his death. And the words of the funeral liturgy, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We have been united in his death. We have put to death the sinful Adam. But each and every day we rise with the new Christ. We are baptized into it. We are marked with it. He washes us and we are cleansed. And on that day, when body and soul reunite, nothing will ever separate them again. They shall go on praising him for all eternity. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Your bodies, as frail as they become, as disease-risen as they can be, and as often as they fail, will never fail again. That is our hope. Our hope is to be with Jesus, to be with the Lamb and his kingdom, which shall never end, to be surrounded by fellow saints, by fellow clouds of witnesses who testify to the work and person of Jesus Christ. So yes, God demands perfection, but he also gives his Son's perfection to us. That is how he now looks at you every time you fail and you confess your sins and you ask for his mercy and grace. He looks at you as his Son, and he loves you completely. Jesus did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but rather to fulfill them. And he has done exactly that for you and for me. The church sings, "You have this law to see therein that you have not been free from sin, but also that you clearly see how pure toward God life should be. Have mercy, Lord. Our works cannot salvation gain. They merit only endless pain. Forgive us, Lord. To Christ we flee, who pleads for us endlessly. Have mercy, Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.